Hello and welcome back to Freight Up. My name is Jess and together with Davide, we'll be your hosts as we navigate our major freight and bulk commodity markets. In this episode, we take a look at the latest movements in dry freight with Ben Klang. Haopei will tell us more about the effects of the new Chinese stimulus package on iron ore, and Archie Smith will give us his take on the oil markets.
Freight Up!
Hello, hello. I hope that you've been doing great since the last time that you've heard from us. But as usual, let's look at the latest news and index movements since our last episode. The unemployment rate in the UK rose to 4.3% from January to March, slightly up from 4.2% in the 3 months to December 2023. And this was in line with market expectations. Inflation has dropped less to 2.3% in April, hitting the lowest since July 2021. Looking at the US, core inflation rate, which excludes the volatile items such as food and energy, rose by 0.3% month on month in April, slowing from a 0.4% increases in March and February. The annual level instead eased to a three-year low of 3.6%, down from 3.8% in the prior month. The inflation rate in the US increased instead 0.3% month on month in April 2024 and slowed to 3.4% year on year from 3.5% in March.
Nickel prices have increased dramatically, hitting the highest level in almost 9 months following the riots in New Caledonia. This metal, critical to produce batteries for electric vehicles, rose by almost 7% on the LME last Friday to $21,150 a ton. Lastly, this week's copper rally transformed in a short squeeze on the US contract operated by the CME Group. The CME cash copper hit a record high of $11,414 a metric ton, and the premium over the LME copper contract jumped to more than $1,000 a ton.
But what have been the broad market movements in the last 2 weeks? Let's take a quick look together. The rates have been steadily declining across the dry freight indices. After the big move up in the Capes of 2 weeks ago, the index has now sunk down to just above $22,000 a day, down nearly $7,000 in 2 weeks. Smaller ships have generally followed the same trend downwards, with the P5TC index now at 16,401, ST1TC at 15,205, and Handysize 7TC at 12,390, all down on 2 weeks ago. Iron ore has recovered a bit, with the index rates now above recent levels, up $2 from 2 weeks ago and $5 from 1 week. And they've closed yesterday at $120 and $70, with a positive look in June and government stimulus helping push up prices. On the oil front, having almost touched $90 a barrel at the end of April, Brent is now hovering above the $81 mark. This has also impacted fuel oil prices, with index levels down $40 a ton on the Singapore high sulfur fuel and down $10 a ton on the 0.5% grade.
And now let's chat about dry freight with Ben Klang. Can you fill me in on the general trend you've been seeing across the freight market?
The FFA market has actually not managed to maintain the upwards trajectory that we were observing during our last podcast. In this last week, there appears to be a general trend across all our main markets of rates slipping early in the week before flattening out towards the end of the week. And it appears that the majority consistently lower index have weighted on the curve.
Then talk me through how the physical may have affected the FFA market in this last week.
In normal order, let's begin with the Capes. It appears that the physical demand has contributed to the decline as iron ore shipments continue to slip for the second week to 28 million tons, down 2.2%. However, we saw coal shipments by the Capesize vessels, we saw like an 1.8% weekly increase to 7.4 million tons. That was thanks to a healthy shipment from Australia and a strong week for South Africa, whose weekly volume jumped 37% to reach 1.4 million tons. And you can see that this is represented in the Cape FFA steady decline before kicking back up marginally by the end of the week. Monday last week, we saw May sold down to 25,000 and June to 28,000. And by Thursday, continued pressure saw May and June at lows of 23,000 and 25,000, 4 to 5, respectively. By Friday, there was some recuperation of the week's losses with the rates rebounding off the week's low. on the Panamaxes in the Pacific and the Atlantic basins came under pressure. This is no surprise that the prompt Panamax FFAs followed a similar pattern to the Capes, with the June rates encountered some downward pressure at the beginning of the week, dropping from Monday's open of 17,300 to the week's low on Thursday's open at 15,525 before driving back up towards the end of the week to close on Friday at $16,075. And on the Supramax index, followed a similar pattern to the larger vessels, with the rates dragging down towards the week, but at a lesser extent. This was due to the impact of limited new inquiries in the US Gulf or Med, but with a well-supplied tonnage market. And on the FFA, we saw a steeper drop than that of the index. At the beginning of the week, with June opening on Monday at 16,375, and by Thursday, June has fallen to 15,175, flattening out on these levels with yesterday. Today's open not having moved much at 15,450.
Thank you, Ben, for that update, and I look forward to hearing where we end up on our next market update from the dry freight market. Next, we have Hao Pei, senior analyst from our Shanghai office. How would the new house stimulus in China impact the iron ore market?
During the last week, China cut down payment of some tier one and tier two cities as low as 15%, which was the lowest in history. In fact, the last cut happened in last August. By the day of announcement, the house agents were almost completely booked. It's crowded everywhere. I tried some calls in person last week. Accordingly, mortgage rates down 15 BPS, but in detail, it would depend on the specific areas, cities, and commercial banks. And in addition, China allowed local government to buy back some of the unfinished houses with funding problems into affordable houses. So in general, picture of destocking and buying and house market happened in China, so which boost equities and Ferrous. And to be honest, compared with equities, Ferrous was pretty humble on the growth. However, it is also worth noting that all those big headlines normally should take weekly level trading. And after the short term money taking gains, there are always some risks left there. And moreover, the revamping of old houses and affordable houses building only sold less than 8% of money issuance so far. We have a long way to go, so as the Paris market.
Very interesting to see one of the detriments of the demand affect it so obviously. Could you please also talk me through how the fundamentals look like?
In the short run, the trade down metals became crowded. Think about gold, silver, and copper, zinc, and tin. So I'm worried about when those positions, when the short run traders taking gains from those products, which probably also impact ferrous as well. It actually happened this Monday. For a while. We actually mentioned about this point of view last week as well, because the positions are taking off majority the short run money. And in fact, I'm not convinced the recent buyers were all long run investors. And fundamentally, iron ore high arrivals in Q2 maintained the problem. And iron ore inventories at China ports reached seasonal high at 148 million tons, while daily consumption was still 1% lower than the same period over last year. But the steel orders were in general robust. But are these all priced in as people see this data as early as late April, I thought? And iron ore is overvalued, in short. And I think the one thing that is worth noting is that the MB65 and Platts 62 spread, the strategy we have been pitching from $12 in March to $16.5 in May for the first round. And now we have chances when we see a $15.5 right now. And I think the problem is we still having a rather low steel margin and a slight, we're not super like straightforward bullish on the outright side. So it's also worth waiting for the steel for the 65 and 62 spread to see if they get corrected furthermore or when the price level of 62 started to correct, then maybe it's a perfect timing and level to enter the trading of the spread. I think we're targeting 17 somewhere in June or July for the spread.
Thank you so much, Hao. Some good thoughts there on when to join the market. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
And now let's talk about fuel oil with the people's broker, Archie Smith. Archie, thank you very much for joining us again. A pleasure as always.
Thank you for having me.
Is it safe to say that like the crude has been like pretty range bound this month? So I wanted to ask you, like, what are the factors that are providing the floors and the ceilings?
Sure. I mean, you're defo correct there. It has been pretty range bound this month. Back end of last week, we were trading towards the higher end of that range, around the corner at $84 per barrel level, just above that. That was off the back of a bit of a drawback in some US crude stockpiles, as well as some positive economic data out of China and US that kind of bolstered the price a bit. Again, you know, it was nothing to really move markets, but it, you know, like I said, it supported the price to the upper end of that range. I think it's very much kind of market has turned away from looking at the conflict in the Middle East, very much now looking predominantly at macro factors and fundamentals. I think the only thing that's worth mentioning is the death of the Iranian leader in a helicopter crash. That actually did kind of spark a very small amount of support. I think very immediately when the market opened after that news, there was uncertainty surrounding, you know, had it been a strike from Israel or et cetera, et cetera. But I think it seems pretty clear that it was a helicopter crash in bad weather. So again, that sort of fire sizzled out. So that was kind of back end of last week. And then we're hitting ceilings of weak demand outlook. Risk sentiment has taken a bit of a hit. I think people are anticipating stickier US interest rates in the sense that they're not expecting a cut anytime soon. So that's seen us come off. And today, late last night, we had the API US oil data came out, and that actually showed a build, API build of 2.5 million barrels of crude in the US, which also put some downward pressure on prices. So now we're kind of hovering around the low end of that range, 81.50, 81.82 level.
On the HSFO market, I mean, yes. Like it seems that there's a rally happening at the moment. Maybe, I don't know if you can tell us something more about that.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, the East-West has really driven up, the barges crack has really driven up, and the front 380 spreads have really driven up. Looking at the front 380 spread, in particularly the front contract, which is the June-July spread, I think it's up like $5 on the month. It's trading around 7 level at the beginning of May, trading last when I left my desk at about 12 and a quarter. It's a mix of things. I think market players don't want to be short the June when we eventually come into that month, so I think they're buying the spread, so therefore netting out their June position, shorting July. Another thing is Middle Eastern power generation season, you know, as the heat gets pretty intense over there. Their high sulfur fuel oil demand spikes quite a lot for, you know, cooling systems, air conditioning, etc., etc. That's certainly another driver. I think that's why we've seen the East-West rally so much. It's up about $15 from the start of the month, trading around $32. What that means is that the Sing 380 high sulfur fuel oil is trading $32 higher than its European equivalent. We have seen still some support in the European market. The barge crack is up like $1.50 on the week, trading around the -9 level. This is a mix of things. I'd say it's general crack behavior. As crude comes off, cracks get stronger. I think there's part of that to play, but I also think you could argue that some market participants are buying into it ahead of the OPEC meeting in June in anticipation of output being held steady, as the output cuts being held steady or extended.
Another OPEC meeting. After
another one,
like there's going to be another interesting one, and
yeah,
pretty sure that like there's going to be more news they're gonna feed into oil markets more in general.
I think you've made a good point there. I think market will definitely be looking ahead to OPEC meeting, you know, considering it's pretty directionless at the minute for crude specifically. I think, yeah, people are looking ahead to that, see what's the next move.
We will be sure to be reporting about that.
We'll be on it
in the next episodes. Okay,
for sure.
Archie, thank you very much, always a pleasure. So I think that we can continue our conversation in 2 weeks time, and
sounds good.
Hopefully like our listeners won't be bored by us.
Two weeks too long.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Cheers.
And that's it for this week. Make sure to subscribe by clicking the subscribe button on wherever you get your podcast. Also, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn or get signed up to our app, FIS Live, to make sure you never miss a freight and commodity analysis from FIS. Thanks again for joining us, and see you in 2 weeks' time on FIS's Freight and Commodity Podcast.
Freight up!